piece of meat?
Do I feel like it? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz going with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
Happy Sunday, moviegoers. Welcome to episode 291. Welcome to the Iron Claw. And welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Juan, and I am joined by the cast, the crew, the guys. Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Ed?
Hey, how's it going, folks?
Jay? What's up, Jay?
How's it going? Happy WrestleMania Sunday.
Happy WrestleMania Sunday. So fitting that we're here talking about the Iron Claw on WrestleMania Sunday. If you guys did not listen to our last sports episode, go back and listen to it. We had all of our WrestleMania predictions, Final Four predictions, talked a little NFL trade too, so go back and listen to that latest episode. Other than that, guys, how's everybody's week been? Zach, you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been okay. Doing a little bit less than that. What about you guys?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Just got back a few minutes ago from some good little baseball games. So not too bad today. Been up since like 5:30.
Nice.
It hasn't been too bad of a week. It's actually been pretty easy of a week.
Been a week for sure. I'm same. You know what? But after a long, gruesome week, I am not going anywhere. I think I'm going to be like a hermit crab for the rest of the week. So
gruesome. What kind of week have you had?
Hey, you know what? When you have to deal with some of these insane characters throughout life, it gets fun and a little headache. You get a little headache as well. But we're talking top five favorite wrestling characters a little bit later on today. We're also going to get into some recent watches. But before we move on, before we continue, we will also get ready to talk about some of our great sponsors as well. So, but Ed, if you guys have not listened to last week's episode, last week we talked all about Friday. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts at, Anchor, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, all that good stuff above. If you want to find the links to any of those podcasts, check us out on the social media. Ed, go ahead and talk to him about all of our social media stuff.
Pretty easy to find. That is facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, TheCinnamoVie. PODCAST podcast. Of course, we've got the Instagram at The Cinnamon Movie Podcast as well. We've got the X at Cinnamon 405. That is CINEMEN 405. The email is, of course, cinnamon921@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us any of your requests or anything like that. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to hear your reviews on some of the movies we have touched on. Let us know.
Also, guys, don't forget San Marcos Mexican Restaurant. It's one of the only restaurants we go to. Check them out. 2301 Southwest 59th Street here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. They're open till 9 o'clock Saturday through Sunday, 7 days a week. Give them a call and do a to-go order at 405-685-7773. You can also do Uber Eats and get them delivered as well. Mention the Cinnamon Movie Podcast since you can get 10% off your entire purchase. Great food and even better customer service. Again, let them know that we sent you 10% off your purchase. So, guys, let's get into some recent watches. Zach, let's start with you. You have anything that you wanted to get into or anything you recommend?
I'll be honest, it was kind of a crazy week between medical tests and a broken water heater. I just got to watch the Iron Claw. I've got 30 minutes into Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom for next week, and I'm just like, oh. That might be a fun conversation. So other than that, Aquaman is on at max, so get ready for that episode next week.
Max it up. Should be a fun conversation next week. How all of our conversations are fun. I'll rapid fire through mine real quick. Like I said, it was kind of a full week, but I do have more this week than I did last. So I checked out the Bray Wyatt documentary, Becoming Immortal, on Peacock. Very good documentary. ISS was a complete shit show. I don't recommend that to anybody. And ISS stands for International Space Station. I watched Cape Fear for the first time. Really, really, really liked it. I'm just not a big Nick Nolte fan, so I could not get over Nick Nolte's presence in that movie. I don't know if anybody else has seen it. Or, for the first time, I watched Lawrence of Arabia.
Enough said.
Enough said. It was good, but 4 hours, really?
They wanted to make you feel like you're going through the desert.
Literally and physically.
You know, I can tell, though, that the director of The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, I can tell that movie was really, really highly influenced as far as just like so many of the camel scenes and soundtrack.
Actually, I think they shot in some of those locations, actually, where they filmed Lawrence of Arabia.
That's cool.
Checked out The Frighteners for the first time. Jay recommended it. It was an okay first time watch. I think I'd probably like it more as I probably get used to it and watch it again. It wasn't bad. Checked out The Iron Claw for this episode. And then it's been a full wrestling weekend. NXT, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania Night 1, Mania Night 2 tonight. And then I watched Lisa Frankenstein this morning. I saw that was on Peacock. It was terrible. It was shit.
You couldn't tell by the trailer?
Shit. I wanted to at least give it the benefit of the doubt since it was directed by Robin Williams' daughter. Still, shit.
Oh, Zelda?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if I had to recommend anything, honestly, check out the Bray Wyatt documentary on Peacock. Check anything out on Peacock this weekend. Cape Fear, I don't know if it's streaming on anything, but I feel like that's an underrated Martin Scorsese film that at least everybody should watch once if you can. So, other than that, Jay, what about you, man? What do you want to start off with? You check anything out this week?
I watched a lot of old WrestleManias. Well, not really old, but within the past couple of years. I watched some more Office. I'm on season 8, in the middle of that one right now. I finished all the Superfan episodes up, so I have to wait for the final two seasons to come out of that. And that should be within the next year. I also checked out the Bray Wyatt documentary, and that thing was heartbreaking. So that's my recommendations for the week. The Bray Wyatt, if you have a chance, get out and check it out. Even if you're not a fan of wrestling, it'll still get you.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I also checked out the A&E Roman Reigns documentary this week, too.
That's on my to-view list. I have it saved on YouTube. Somebody posted it on YouTube, and I'm going to watch it.
I didn't know it was directed and written by Paul Heyman.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, Ed, what about you, man?
I haven't been on in a while. I've kind of gone through a decent bit of stuff. So, I've gotten through the Wonka series. Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is what I mean. Those, you know, I feel they all three kind of hold a decent place. I did not know it was going to be more so a musical than anything. Didn't know it was really going to be too much of a musical or anything like that. So there is that, but got to see, you know, night one of WrestleMania, a little bit of Stand and Deliver. Yeah, we can't wait for night two. And then Got to watch the Iron Claw, of course. I watched it right after the last episode. Like, I mean, I'm talking like within 20 minutes. So, yeah, this is a big one, man. Honestly, it's can't wait to talk about it.
All right, guys. If you anybody else wants to shout out some recommendations, go ahead and hit us up on the social medias, like Edward went through a little bit ago. Send us in some emails. I'll get through the email bag today and tomorrow, and we'll have email bag probably on the next time we podcast on Wednesday when we talk national championship and sports, or next Sunday when we talk Awkwafina Man and the Lost Kingdom. So other than that, guys, I think it's time to finally get in to some top five here in just a little bit. Before we get into the movie conversation of things, how did everybody feel about Friday last week?
I thought that was a good episode.
It's a real good episode. Ed, did you have fun with it?
Always love it, man. Always love it. Friday is one of my favorites, so I can't complain about that at all.
So. Well, I woke up yesterday, and one of Kevin's sons was in the living room watching Friday. It was at the scene where he was telling Craig to smoke weed with him.
out of all the episodes we've done, Top Gun Maverick, Avatar, those are some of our highest downloaded episodes we've like ever had. And even including Top Gun Maverick. I mentioned that one again because that one is still at the very top of our downloadable list. Like, people download that episode like crazy. Halloween 4, when we have the library discussion, that's one of our highest downloaded episodes of all time. Even including the Batman conversations, The Dark Knight Rises, Zach, our bonus episode on the Joker. These are some of our highest downloaded episodes on Spotify at almost like 8,000-9,000 an episode. So that being said, I wanted to bring that up because Friday only being out not even 2 weeks is already our highest downloaded episode that we've ever had. I don't know if it like was trending or if just so many hashtags probably worked, but it's sitting at 9,223 downloads since uploaded last Sunday night. And I'm like, that was pretty insane. Almost 9,040 downloads in
especially for a movie that came out in 95.
Yeah, in a matter of just 7 days. So literally that episode, I uploaded that episode last Sunday night at 9 p.m. And like, yeah, over 9,000 downloads the first 7 days. That's pretty insane. Anyway, I want to say thank you to everybody who like suggested the movie, came on to talk about it, anybody who worked on any of the behind the scenes stuff. Man, thank you guys, you three, anybody else that's, you know, that I've been mentioned or that's talked to, emailed. Thank you to everybody who's downloaded and listened. That's pretty cool, even though like no advertising was paid for. So yeah. But speaking of advertising, guys, if you are in any of our local stops here in the city, Homelands, Crust Food Departments, go check them out as they have some OKC soda on hand. The Craft Soda Company of Oklahoma with super unique flavors like strawberry shortcake, blueberry acai, and the root beer, orange cream soda, made with original cane, pure sugar, and all natural flavors. You can visit them on the Instagram at OKC Soda Co. There you can also find their link tree, where to buy them, wholesale distributions, and you can even get your own soda label paid for. So check that out. Be on the lookout for Cinnamon Movie Podcast Soda. Things are still coming out. So some big news coming up this week. And probably next week when it comes to OKC Soda as well. So give them a shout out, give them a listen. And you know what? Share your photo of the soda that you're drinking on the Instagram page and we can put it up in the story. So check that out. But now, guys, let's talk our top five favorite wrestling characters. So, pretty fun. Again, this is just our top five favorite characters, you know, the characters that bring us into maybe watching it. Or if you don't even watch it, you know, this is just a character that you know of and you've heard of. So this necessarily isn't our top five favorites, just favorite characters. I don't have any honorable mentions this week. Does anybody else have any?
No.
No? I'll start us in. No, Edward, you go. You go first. You start us off. What's number five for you?
So I've got kind of a mix. I've got some that are old, some that are new. Simple as that. Right now, if I had to mention one that I'm really loving, like just to watch and the entertainment value they bring, as well as like the story this person is a part of, I'd have to say like Jey Uso. You know, gone from the bloodline and all that stuff for the past couple of years, and what, roughly around July, August time or something like that, kind of started splitting off from the bloodline, had the feud with like the bloodline, his brother and all that. And now all of a sudden going into WrestleMania, you know, him versus his brother last night. So, you know, the whole yeet thing, no yeet thing, that's pretty cool. The whole crowd control thing, man, that's a huge thing. It truly, truly is a huge thing. I can't say enough about crowd control, because if you can get the crowd behind you, then you're doing something at least. So, yeah.
My number five favorite character, I'll probably have to go with anything Bray Wyatt did, whether it be The Fiend or Swamp Bray Wyatt, just that character in general. I think that character had to be brought up during my top five. You know, just like any comic book character, I think these characters have to embrace you, keep you entertained, but also like not give you everything all at once, just kind of like tease you and just keep wanting you to, just having you want to keep, you know, watching and wanting you to have more of it going on. So, like Jey said too, go check out that documentary, because after this documentary, you're just going to be like, I need to find more stuff from him to watch. And, you know, yeah, been a pleasure watching him do his thing since 2012. So number five for me would be Bray Wyatt. Jey, what about you? What's number five for you?
The Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. This whole Tribal Chief gimmick is really, really good. It's spanned almost 4 years now. You know, there's very few wrestling storylines that last 4 years, let alone characters that remain up top. With Bray, with Roman Reigns, you know, he's been at the top for 4 years. No, longer than that, but this tribal character chief, that's the one that's been up the main tippy top for a while now. He's better than most characters on any wrestling program right now.
Yeah. Zach, number five?
My list, let me just preface to say, I don't watch WrestleMania, I don't watch wrestling, so I just pick probably the basic of the basic, if you would say. Number five is Hulk Hogan, probably one of the ones that a lot of people know, a lot of people love, and still does. I mean, obviously doesn't do like hardcore stuff now, but like he's at conventions and stuff like that, so, you know, he's willing to still play the character. So that, I think if you're that type of fan, and there's a great video on YouTube, just a little boy just like doing his bit, and Hulk Hogan just like goes in all in on it. And so it's just like that, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, if you're still have that mindset, you still like doing that. So that'd be my number five.
Yeah, because the second time you met him, if you're talking about that one.
Yeah.
Comes in. Yeah. And, oh, that's such a good clip right there.
Yeah.
Number four, Edward.
Number four, like I said, got some new, got some old. Simple as that. So I'm going to go with Judgment Day, specifically Dominic, Dirty Dominic Mysterio. This cat, you got to give him a lot of props with the year, year and a half that he's grown a lot. Started off with his dad, of course. Everybody knew that was going to happen, either training or kind of being around him or tagging with him eventually. Everybody knew that. A lot of people in the back will even tell you this guy, you were kind of worried about him because you're like, is this kid really belonging here? Does he need to be here? And then the Judgment Day thing happened. Betrayed Edge or Adam Copeland on AEW brand, for that matter, currently. Clotheslined the hell out of his father, you know, Rey Mysterio, and turned bad, turned into the Bloodline or the Judgment Day and all of their stuff, man. I think it is powerful one way and powerful the other way. When you can go ahead and have the ability to speak without speaking, this kid does not even need to say anything on the mic. He raises that mic up and instant just biggest boos I've ever heard out of a crowd. To my knowledge, you know, I haven't watched every single episode of every single year for 40 years, but I've got quite a bit of it under my belt, you know, so there's that. Paid attention within the last year and a half, 2 years, pretty easily or pretty well. But yeah, whatever Dirty Dom does, honestly, it's to me, it's a part of gold because that kid has found what he's needing to do. So.
He's got mommy with him.
That does not help him or hurt him. I'm sorry. That does not hurt him at all to have a because everybody draws that line between him, between Eddie Guerrero and China and Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley. It's a pretty easy line to draw. All so right. With that mullet, but yeah.
Number four for me is going to be Ric Flair. I think at every point, everybody wanted to be Ric Flair, probably still does. Unlimited money, cars, jets, planes, women, and unfortunately, probably unlimited livers too, because with how much he's been going on. But everybody literally wants to dress, be like Ric Flair. So that character, even decades and decades a year later, people are still like, man, you walk the walk, look the look. You know, who doesn't want to be that character? So
there's even a rap song about Ric Flair that he's in the music video for.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody wants to be like Ric Flair. So that's who my number four is. Jay, what about you?
My number four is The Undertaker. You have a guy that for over 2.5 decades done his thing and didn't break kayfabe once. He was always the Undertaker. He was always on. So even though he was given garbage, you know, to work with sometimes, you know, he still found a way to make it seem legit and possible. You know, he's got a few storylines that were real good, but a lot of times he was given shit.
Yep.
So they just found all right, we got this big man. We want you to work at WrestleMania. And then they would just throw him in there with whatever in the hell they had. And that, to me, could have run the mystique of the Undertaker character, but with him being the way he was always able to take shit and turn it into gold. And that's a good thing for a character, you know.
Yep.
To always be able to
adapt.
Make good. Exactly. Yes. He was always able to adapt and make good on his storylines. Zach?
Number four, John Cena. I feel like, you know, he's probably the newest. Yeah, he's probably the newest out of my list. He definitely plays the douchey know-it-all type character. It's just really hard to see him sometimes, you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think he's definitely one that has really reached the cultural mass. Like, everyone knows who he is, and he's definitely, like, broken out of the wrestling world, obviously, with doing movies and other stuff. This one and probably my number two is probably ones that they still go back for, like, cameo appearances or whatever. So he's definitely probably reached the, I don't know if highlights the right word for his career, but he's definitely loved. And, you know, anytime he makes a special appearance, it's a big deal. So.
Edward, number three.
Right now, kind of the, he has a true test today. Cody Rhodes, man. I've gotten on that Cody Rhodes bandwagon. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of the Cody crybabies. It's all good. Whether he wins tonight or doesn't, either way, this kid has a lot of potential in this company. He really does. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, his song is 100% certified banger, in my opinion. Clothes, pretty cool. They kind of remind you of a specific show, for that matter. But, okay, his look even reminds you of that show, too. He's got the pedigree. There's all kinds of stuff going for this. So, I mean, yeah, he's just been one of my favorites to watch today. So,
Number three for me is going to be Eddie Guerrero, the lie, cheat, and steal character that he had going on for the longest time. I think it ran from, like, you know, late 02 to almost a little shortly before he passed in 05. So that character was just, it was entertaining. Probably the greatest thing he had did up to his passing before, you know. So, and I still think that's one character that hasn't really been touched since. Like, nobody else has really tried to pick up something like that. I think, you know, again, lightning in a bottle.
They haven't touched upon it, but they sure in the hell homage him a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody and does Eddie moves.
Yep. And he does it, like, I don't think, I think he's underrated as far as, like, in ring stuff. Like, a lot of people talk about some of the other greats. He's not really mentioned that much. Like, he probably, you know, should be. I still would have loved to see what he was getting ready to do in 06 and see what would have, you know, taken place after. Supposedly I heard about the Eddie Guerrero Shawn Michaels match, you know. But I think we'll touch on it today with what the director of this movie did in A24. You know, I think it'd be nice to see a Guerrero story somewhere down the line with A24. So number three for me was and is Eddie Guerrero, favorite lie, cheat, steal, number three character. Jay.
My number three is your number five, and it's Bray Wyatt. Like, this man, his instincts, after watching the documentary, you get to realize what all he sat there and actually got to create. And it's like, most of what we've seen on television was from his mind. It was just okayed. And, you know, the whole Firefly Funhouse, that was all his. You know, the whole Fiend character, that was all him. You know, nobody sat there and came up with any ideas for him except him. You know, it was all him. And that's a very rare thing, because usually a wrestling character is a, you know, it's a combination of everybody. Yeah, it's a combination of everybody's input. You know, Triple H's, Vince's, whoever's. It's always an input thing. But here they just let the guy go, and he was creative as hell. You know, you got so many good things from the guy. But he's also another guy that, like The Undertaker, was giving shit as well and turned it into gold.
Jay, what are you doing this week?
Me? Nothing.
Yeah. I think we should just spawn a little bonus episode. You know, a lot of us, we love documentaries so much, and I feel like there's a lot to talk about with this documentary. Maybe we throw out a bonus episode on Thursday or Friday, and we dissect the Bray Wyatt documentary. What do you think?
That's fine. That works.
That sounds good. Ed, Zach, if you guys love documentaries, if you want to watch it and hop on, let's do it. I think we should try to do it a Thursday night.
It's 2 hours and 2 minutes long.
Yeah. So, but yeah, well, let's talk about that more this week. That sounds fun. Zach, number three.
I'll be honest. I really don't have any commentary on this guy. It's just one that just comes to mind when I think of wrestling is number three is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just one that, you know, definitely just first, one of the first names I think of when I think of wrestling. And so, like, I remember I saw maybe one or two matches of his in the probably right before he retired, so like the early 2000s, 2001, 2002. But it's always one that I remember playing the WWE Xbox game, and so that was a character I always played. So yeah, that's pretty much my commentary on that.
Nice. Number two, Ed, second favorite character.
Number two, I'm going to go ahead and go with a man that I've actually gotten to, me and you, for that matter, have actually gotten to meet together. I've seen him, we've both seen him wrestle together, for that matter, as well. And where we got to meet him was a book signing. None other than the Big Red Machine, Kane. I always loved Kane, man. Like, Undertaker, as far as skills and all that, better, hands down. But as far as like the character, I always lean towards Kane, man. Like that was my guy for a while. It's hilarious that he's a freaking a governor now. But mayor. Okay, I was like, I knew it was one of the two, but still cool nonetheless. But yeah, Kane, man, I was always like happy to see that guy on TV or a pay-per-view, or you know what used to be called pay-per-views, now it's called PLEs. But yeah, man, that was just a awesome thing, and to meet him was really cool. I didn't take a picture with him. I was just like, I don't want to take up his time, there's other people. Yeah, no, I'm good, you know, and all that, which one of the things I regret, so all good, man.
I've met Kane several times at wrestling shows, and I even talked to him on the phone one time. So
that was cool. That's cool.
A buddy of mine was at my brother was at the wrestling show that they used to come in through the back at the Kansas Coliseum, and it was just a big open fence. So they'd have to park and get out and walk by the crowd, and there was no way for them to get away from us. So they had to come over to the fence and sign autographs and take pictures and shit. I even got to meet Vince McMahon doing that.
And that's pretty cool.
My brother called me up and was like, Kane's here now. I was like, cool. I was like, hand him the phone. So he handed Kane the phone. He's like, hey, how's it going? Are you coming up to watch the show? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming up. So that's my story with Kane.
There you go.
Hell yeah. We're on three, right? Yeah. Number two?
No, two.
Number two for me, somebody already mentioned him. I'm going to pick The Undertaker. For the exact same reasons as UJ, the mystique of The Undertaker, the presentation. It doesn't matter if he's, you know, 30 years old or if he's in his 60s or 50s. The character himself is just what draws you in. He's one of those that can just go in there and do a 30-second match and you've got your money's worth, you know. Pandemic sucked. I think it would have been awesome to see AJ Styles and The Undertaker inside of an actual ring together. But if that's one of the last physical images we have of that character in that kind of cinematic match, then I'm okay with that. Number two for me is The Undertaker. One of the greatest characters of all time. So, Jay, number two?
I'm going with The Rock. You know, he's one of the greatest talkers in the business, one of the most iconic wrestlers in the business, you know. You can sit there and say The Rock or Dwayne Johnson. People know who in the hell you're talking about. You know, he had multiple different characters over the years, but he's always been The Rock. You know, it was Nation of Domination Rock. You know, World Heavyweight Champion Rock. My dogs are going off.
Corporate Rock. Dude, the Hollywood Rock, for that matter. Now the Final Boss.
Yeah, we're getting the Final Boss right now character. And so far, like I've predicted, I think he's going to wrestle Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. But he's in it for the long haul. He's always been a good character. He's always been an asshole. So, and that's been his character, you know, just being that prick. And don't get me wrong, he's been a face, but a lot of times he's just been a complete dick of a hill.
But you know what, who's also to say that, you know, we could have gotten stuff like this months or years ago, but maybe one that McMahon was just standing in the way. So I mean, now that everybody has a little bit more creative freedom, I think it'd be fun, interesting. And that's a good number two. So Rock being a number two. Zach, what about you?
My number two is The Rock as well. I think definitely he's out of everybody that we've talked about, he's definitely the one that's breaking through the wrestling genre and has literally adapted into the film business. I mean, it's kind of insane just how much, like, he, I think he's like one of the highest grossing film actors right now working. So
it's not even just that he's busted into Hollywood, but that he's been like ultra successful in it too. Guy's been in how many movies, and you know,
yeah. He's also done TV and all kinds of stuff, and definitely, yeah, I agree with you, Jay. Definitely just a complete dick sometimes, but like that's why you watch it, because you know you just want to see him just like tear people up.
I will say The Rock is probably the funniest on the mic ever, in my opinion.
Oh, what he's saying, his concerts.
Oh no, anything, because I mean, like, if you look up an old clip of him and the Dudley Boys, when Bubba Ray Dudley started stuttering, you know, we are the and he was like, it doesn't matter, and just starts beating the shit out of him. That, or going at the Big Show, or
who do you got at number one, Ed? Yeah. Who's your favorite wrestling character?
Honestly, man, it kind of sucks to see the old wolf kind of not do so well in other territories, but ever since the early 2000s, and I'm talking like 01, 2000s, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was just like, I don't know, man. He was the guy. If it wasn't Kane, it was Jeff Hardy to me, man. He was the guy I went to. He was the guy that, yeah, he got his ass kicked all the time by bigger dudes and wasn't, you know, all this and all that. Had the championship for like, what, 16 or 14 days or something like that, or 42 days or something, but to me, it was just like, dude was insane. All the stuff he did, the way he would just put his body on the line for any and everything, man. You know, you mentioned that TLC match. Everybody knows what you're talking about. Everybody knows the three teams that competed in it. You know, I've mentioned at least three of half of the teams, of every single team in this little segment. But, yeah, Jeff Hardy was just the guy I was – always like behind every time.
Number one for me is gonna be, Jay, you already mentioned him, is gonna be the Tribal Chief character, Roman Reigns. I think for everything he's done as a workhorse, as a character in general, Paul Heyman by his side, just my favorite character right now, and probably one of my favorite characters of the last 10 years. So you know, I can't imagine
top right now.
Yeah,
with him being on top right now, the business is booming again.
Yeah, I can't remember another character that I've just been so drawn into. It's like, oh, I'll miss a SmackDown or a Raw here and there, but like when he's on, like I'm going to tune in because of what he says. And if you guys haven't seen his post-match access interview from last night after the show, the post-match interviews, what do they call it?
All access interview or press conference?
The press conference, yeah. The press conference from last night. Highly recommend it. Some funny stuff. But I think he was generally being for real too. So go check it out.
He was straight dick last night.
Yeah, he was. Who's next, Jay?
Yeah. Without this character, there would be no Attitude Era. So I'm going to go with Stone Cold as my number one spot. Without Dude. Stone Cold, there is no Attitude Era.
Not only that, but, you know, it's hilarious on how one of the things that kind of made him was the King of the Ring. And it's not really that it made him with, you know, the title of it at the moment and then the accomplishment of it. But then, you know, right after, the 316 just says, I just whooped your ass. It was just like, oh, shit. Dude's gone off, and then, you know, they're like, that was lightning in a bottle, because, you know, the next couple showings, 316, 316, Austin 316, and all this started popping up. And yeah, I agree. Like, there's probably five central characters of the Attitude Era, and he's probably the most central character easily.
Like I said, Johnny, that without my number one pick is Stone Cold, so without him, there is no Attitude Era. I don't know. There was just so much about this guy that,
you know, he was the tribal chief of that era.
He was.
Like, he may not have had the run or anything like that, but when he's on TV, you wanted to watch him. So it's a great number one.
Well, with his match.
Oh.
Well, with this match last year, a couple of years ago at WrestleMania, he came back after 19 years and put a whooping on Kevin Owens, and he looked like he didn't miss a beat. He looked a little older, but other than that, he looked like he hadn't missed a beat.
That's true. Zach, finish us off. Number one?
Well, he's been on all of our lists, so I think it probably won't be as a big surprise. Number one is The Undertaker. If I'm going to watch wrestling, that's the character that I really want to see. I like what you said, Johnny, about one of your characters, like the appearance or like the get up. It's just like, that's, you know, love that look. Look like you just like got done robbing a grave or something. His whole eye trick has always been fun to watch. He's that to me is what wrestling is, just what the Undertaker, that's what he represents. And that's just, I'm excited to see him every time he comes out. Why did he retire? Did he have like health problems or something like that? Like heart issues or something like that?
Old. He was just done. He was just old.
Okay.
Done.
He'd been doing it for like 25, 30 years. He was ready to hang it up.
Time for him to rest in peace.
Yeah. Well, the whole bit where he like they do the Undertaker funeral and like, that was a great bit. So.
All right, guys, if you want to let us know your top five wrestling characters, email us, CINEMEN921, cinnamon921@gmail.com, and we'll read them over. As always, the top five is brought to you by Red and Blue's Pizza. Order now. They're open 7 days a week, 405-602-2838, or you can order for delivery. Pick up 4500 South May right here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Get the cinnamon sticks. They're amazing. You can also get the top five, which is a pizza that has top five toppings. So check it out. Let them know that the Cinnamon Movie Podcast sent you for 5% off your entire order. And they even have some wings, gyros, sandwiches, salads, anything you guys want to fulfill your gut this WrestleMania weekend. You can also check them out and get some pizza for tomorrow's national championship game that we will talk about on Wednesday. And guys, guess what? That's how fast I work. Thursday, me and Jerry, we're going to talk Bray Wyatt becoming immortal. The Bray Wyatt documentary is on Peacock. We're going to review it. Favorite scenes, favorite talkabouts. It's going to be a full episode, guys. Star rating. Me and Jay will talk about it. Anybody else who might want to join, especially if you're watching this on Ema Sawa Productions YouTube channel, Wrestling Tacos was at WrestleMania, was at Stand Deliver. So maybe we can get somebody from them to come talk about this documentary as well. Ed, Zach, you guys more than welcome. Watch it, check it out. But let's dig in.
That's hysterical. It's just funny. Johnny was like, no, we're going to do it on Thursday. Just made the poster.
Today we are talking about the Iron Claw, the true story of the inspirable Von Erich brothers who made history in the intensively competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 80s, starring Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Harrison Dixon. You also have Holt McCullery. Charles Jr. is in there. Yeah, Lily. Also, how do you pronounce her name? Last name, Mara Tenery?
Tierney.
Yeah. And then written and directed by Sean Durkin. IMDb currently stands at 7.7. Rotten Tomatoes is at 89%, while the Metascore is at 73% with a December 22nd, 2023 release date. The box office, it earned about $45 million. The box office with just a $16 million budget. Zach, let's start with you. Do you remember the first time you got to see this, and what was it like in a few short words for the rewatch?
This is probably one of the top five, top 10 films we were excited about last year. A24, wrestling, saw it in the theater. I think we saw it Christmas Day or the day after or whatever. I was really just shocked by it, to be honest. Like, I didn't know anything about the Von Erichs. Like I said, I'm not a wrestling person. But my mom was, and she knew a lot about the Von Erich story, and she remembered a lot when this happened. And of course, you know, Johnny was just like A24 in wrestling. He was like, oh, yep, gotta go see it. And
Jeremy Allen White.
Yep, Jeremy Allen White. On the rewatch, I had the same emotions, dude. Like, it was, this is a story that I think you don't even have to be a wrestling person and enjoy, is not the right word, but just kind of experience like how a family's tragedy could just be so overwhelming. So
it's a good few short words. I saw this in theaters as well. I was nervous about doing for the rewatch because I enjoyed the theatrical experience was so good. Mm-hmm. You get so many emotions. What's that?
Was this in your top 10 of the year, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Watching it this time around, I watched it twice over in the last 2 days. I would have to agree, but I appreciate it more this time, as it's really I felt different about it. It's we'll get into it. It's really a Kevin movie that deals with him being a brother than it really, to me at least, has to do with a wrestling story. And that's kind of interesting. I'll ask some questions a little bit later on, but that's what I got from it the last few times around. Jay, what about you? You remember the first time you seen it? And
yeah, I watched it on my favorite streaming site. I didn't get to see it in theaters. But while watching it, I was sitting there thinking, all right, I got it. I enjoyed it for what it was. But knowing as much lore as I do about the Von Erichs, it was kind of hard to...
Do you think it kind of ruined... And like I said, that's something I wanted to ask about it. But do you think knowing... And you can... This just can kind of just be like a yes or no question for now. But do you think knowing as much as you did ruined the film aspect of it?
A bit. I thought it's an abbreviation version of the story. It's a very short part of the story. You know, they even left out one brother.
Yep.
Chris Von Erich. So yeah, I we'll talk more about it, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
Ed, do you remember the first time you watched it, or was this the first time watch for you?
First time watch. Emotional. Yeah.
Let's dig into it then, guys. You guys can check this movie out. Rent it on Vudu, Amazon Prime. I believe it, HBO Max, where Max has the A24 library. So I believe this could be on HBO Max here real soon, I think. Let's kind of, early version of the film, you get into the dad, Fritz, is a character. You got the black and white sessions as he, right off the hand, you can kind of tell where this story is going to go. Like Zach said, if you're not a wrestling fan or if you're not a Von Erichs fan, I think you can still enjoy this movie just being a fan of film in general. And that's what this podcast is about. So watching it the second time around, you can really tell about Fritz is the real bad guy.
Oh, yeah. He has a ranking for his sons. What father does that shit, man?
Yeah. And it's almost like, Zac Efron plays Kevin Von Erich. I believe he's still the only living original Von Erich. Of course, that's not including his kids or his grandkids.
But I believe he is.
Let's talk a look about how, in the film, Kevin says his family, his last name is cursed. His dad changed the last names. Things start happening. I almost, the second time around, I'm like, man, the dad is cursed. I feel like the dad is just the overall evil person in this. And I don't think it has anything to do with the last name. I just think at the end of the day, they just should have said no to his dad.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin was the only one in the film that actually pushed against his dad. The rest of them kind of done what they were told.
Yeah. The innocent suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the end, since he did tell his dad no, he's the only one that thrived. The rest of them all, as we get going along, we'll tell you what happens to them. But
you guys think Zac Efron got snubbed for this?
I do.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is by far his probably best performance he's done. Even though he looks like he's morphing throughout the movie, just, I mean, but he, I mean, he's already, you know, if you ever seen Zac Efron in other movies, he's already like jacked anyway. So, I mean, he really like got into character and played the part and, you know, what to look like what Kevin did at the time. Even like the other actors like Jeremy Allen White and Harris Dickinson and all the other ones, I mean, just looking side by side pictures, I mean, they did a pretty good job of recreating these people.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Like, I think, you know, going back and look at the opening of the movie, you can kind of see how Fritz already is like, you know, with his small wife pushing his character and his ego around and pushing his weight around, you know, mm-hmm. with the new car. But then
I feel like anytime I see like a fight ring or anything like that, and it's a black and white, I feel like it's like automatically trying to like pay respect to Raging Bull. I don't know why that is. It's just, you know, even though it's like, this is something completely different. It's just, oh, so that's like a Raging Bull homage or whatever. So
I took it as a flashback being in black and white. That's what I took it as.
A lot of movies are doing that nowadays to where like, hey, if you have like a, you know, flashback scenes, let's just put it in black and white.
Black and white.
Same thing last week, though. Friday, the flashback scenes were black and white.
Yeah.
So
it's been going around for a while now.
What do you guys think of, you know, we've already graced and praised Zac Efron for his portrayal of Kevin Von Erich. But what do you guys think of Jeremy Allen White as Carrie, Harris Dickinson as David? What do you guys think of those two actors playing those two brothers?
Honestly, I think the second draw is Jeremy Allen White because, you know, John, I mean, we watched The Bear and he's fantastic in that. I think it's hard to – I didn't watch any of the documentaries or anything like that. So it's just – it's hard to know, like, if that's how Carrie Von Erich actually acted, then Jeremy Allen White really hit it on the nail and did a tremendous job about it. Even the two other brothers, Harris Dickinson and – Stanley Simmons. Yeah, I think Stanley Simmons, if he was the underdog in this, I mean, he really played it to the nail with that character with Mikey as well, especially after the he gets injured, and I think I'm assuming he had like a brain trauma too after
he did. If you would have seen the real news conference that. His eyes are so black and vacant during the real press conference and real life that mm-hmm. you feel sorry for the kid. Like his eyes are just black. Like you could tell there's no one home, and he's so skinny and skeletal that they're asking questions that he can barely speak. So it's like he played that very well.
Jay, I guess I didn't realize. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask what some of the. You know, some of the appreciation that maybe he might have had for some of the other characters like Jeremy Allen White, or if, you know, if it wasn't Zac Efron playing Kevin, did you have a favorite Von Erich in this one?
Okay, Kevin was by far my favorite because, you know, he was the focal point, but yeah. I didn't have a problem with any of the other guys in it. They all played their role to a T.
One of the things I think I enjoyed is not the right word, but noticed more on the second watch was how in the beginning Kevin really doesn't believe in the curse. He's just like, oh, it's just some stupid legend that someone's told. And that just as events start to happen, and he just gradually becomes just much more like almost just scared for not only his life, but his like Lily James and his son. And it's like, you know, that's why they didn't give his son the Von Erich name because he was afraid something's gonna happen. He becomes so paranoid, like he's sleeping in like the office room in the gym and everything. He doesn't want the curse to touch any other part of his life.
What do you guys think of that? Do you think that might have been a little played out for the movie standpoint? Or do you think in real life maybe that was something that he was really terrified of?
Oh, in real life, I thought it was something they were all terrified about because they always – and all right, before we go any further, I'll mention that there's a WWE documentary called The Triumph of Tragedy of WCCW, and it tells basically the same story for the Von Erichs, but it goes a little bit more in-depth because you get matches and everything like that. But in that they also talk about Kevin, because they interview Kevin for, and he's like, you know, I believe in the curse. I still believe in the curse. It, you know, I lost brothers because of the curse. So it was something that was always constantly on his mind. It just wasn't played up for the movie.
Yeah. Now he's, I think you said, Jay, he's the last one of that generation, right?
There
like
is.
The mom, the there dad, is. And the brothers, they're all gone. He's the last one.
They're all gone. Yeah, he's the last one. Like he says at the end of the movie, that he always says before, you know, I used to be a brother and now I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what he said that in the interview as well. You know, I used to have brothers, but now I don't. So I'm not a brother anymore.
Because the father just died. The father died in 97. The mother died in 2015.
Okay. I think so, just jumping way ahead of that scene where he's just talking to his sons and he's just said that he's not a brother. That was probably the
part. I started tearing up. I ain't gonna lie.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that they get wrong in some of these sports or wrestling movies that, you know, sometimes Hollywood grasps a hold of. The wrestling in this was pretty cool, was pretty legit. They actually all learned how to, you know, kind of work in the ring, to where some movies before, give or take, it could have just been, you know, some cut scenes. But they really learned how to work in that ring, and that's something that a lot of people praise Zac Efron over. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about the wrestling in the movie? Did you guys enjoy it, or was it really just, you know, background stuff for what the movie was really trying to?
I thought Chavo did a very good job doing the choreography of this movie. Chavo did really good.
That's the thing right there, that Chavo, a lot of people don't understand how in-depthly involved he was, especially on that side. But I thought it was good. I mean, it was a kind of a backside, you know, of the whole story, but at the same time, it was more the backbone of the story. Because that's essentially, if they weren't wrestlers, we'd have one that was an Olympian, and then the rest of them that, what, did something different? I don't know. You know, so.
Well, Mikey wanted to be a musician, it looked like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah. There you go on that. But, you know, the one was an Olympian, and yeah, the rest kind of,
if they had messed up the wrestling sequences in this movie, which I don't, I mean, all of us would kind of agree that that's one of the highlights of the film. I wouldn't say that it would hurt it per se, because the story truly is about like the Von Erich family and just like what happened, the tragedy of that. But I think, you know, when you have Kevin, Carrie, and David, they do their like three tag match team or whatever. You know, that's part of the enjoyment of seeing that. So
yeah, because they were feuding with the Freebirds. Then they didn't even go into who they were feuding with, but they had a long, long standing feud with the Freebirds.
I think they mentioned them once around the match, but I think that was the biggest kind of thing, was just that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, like the Fabulous Freebirds, I think they just mentioned them once.
One of the interesting things about this movie is you can get, we talk about how all the other actors look like the wrestlers they played. I think in this movie you get one who looks really good, and the actor who played Harley Race, I think we can all agree he looks like Harley Race.
I thought he did well as Harley Race. But
and then on the other hand, you have...
Was it the Ric Flair? Like everyone,
Ric Flair.
That was like one of the biggest complaints I heard about. It's like the guy, the Ric Flair. It's
like he was playing a character.
Yeah.
It's like he was playing a character. But back to Chavo real quick. Chavo also did the wrestling choreography for the show Glow. Did anybody ever see that one?
Mm-hmm. I have not. Mm-hmm.
So, Johnny, you have?
Just a few scenes.
Just a few scenes. You should give it a complete watch, because it's definitely a good show. Chavo's in it as well. He plays one of the trainers. And the movie, it didn't say who he was, but there's a scene near the end of the movie where Kevin's teaming up with the blonde guy. That's Lance Von Erich. That's their cousin. You know, I put that in quotes. That's their cousin that Fritz sat there. He didn't have any other brothers around, so he used this kid that looked like him, and he just called him Lance Von Erich, and that was one of their cousins.
That's why they do like a fake heart attack too, right?
I don't know. I can't remember that. And the movie sits there and says that Kevin found Carrie after he shot himself, but it was actually Fritz that found him.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it dramatically, it makes just a little bit more sense. I mean, just because I think in drama, you know, you want to make it the most, like, heartfelt moment you can. And, you know, Kevin, the one that really... By that point in the movie, he had really been shunned by his dad, saying like, hey, you know, you sell this business, you never walk back into this house again, you know, all this and that. And so for Kevin not able to save Carrie, that is, you know, another heartfelt moment for him.
Yeah,
was there... Did they play? I couldn't. It seemed like they were. And Jay, you might be able to answer this. Towards the end of the movie, you know, it was like Kevin was taking over the business and he was looking through the books. Like, was the father stealing money from them? It seemed like they were playing that idea up.
He was basically cooking the books. He was basically saying that Kevin was paid this much when he was actually paid this much. So he mm-hmm. was cooking the books to make it look better than they were doing better than what they were supposed to be. And so.
Oh, okay.
Going back, I want to talk about the wedding scene because of what would eventually happen after that wedding scene. Such a sad moment when they're in the restroom, Kevin and David, right before David goes on to Japan. Man, what'd you guys think of, like, because Zach, I kind of want to get your opinion too. And Ed, Jay, I think you kind of already knew the story, but I mean, by all means, chime in if you want. That scene when they're in the restroom and you can kind of get the sense of what's coming next. I know they have played some stuff before that it was an overdose and stuff in the bedroom and in Japan when the movie, you know, really that's not what is supposed to happen. Really, it was, you know, the stomach issue.
Intestine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just having an incident like that and just. Because didn't they, in the WCCW documentary, that's what they stated too, right? That it was the stomach issue?
Yeah, they never, they all did drugs. Don't get me wrong. They all did drugs. You know, that was the 80s, you know, everybody all did. Right. But when it came down to it, David did die of the burst stomach, you know, the burst intestines.
So really, David died of actual, like, health issue. The rest of them, like Mikey, Carrie, and the other one, they all died by suicide, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Carrie shot himself in the front yard of his parents' house, and just like in the movie, Mikey took a bunch of his pain medication, went out to the woods, and fell asleep and never woke up.
Now, the brother that was not mentioned, what happened to him?
They just they needed the time for to be able to tell the other brother's story. They said that it
was too much to actually do the movie, like too much tragedy in the movie to do the movie, basically, and that it threw it off balance for whatever that means.
Well, and to me, it's just like, if they're worried about time constraint, I mean, if you're going to tell the story, you know, this movie's what, 2 hours and 13 minutes long. I don't have a problem with the pacing or anything, but to me, it's just like, I kind of agree with you guys. If you're going to tell the story, include that other brother, because I mean, that's just that's the missing part of the puzzle.
Jay, well, do you know exactly what happened with the other brother?
Chris, I don't know. I know he wanted to be a wrestler and everything, but other than that, I don't know what happened to him. I can't recall at this moment.
Did he drink, put himself in a boat, and then take like sleeping pills or something like that and die by that?
That was Mikey.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I was I know something around there, but yeah. Okay.
No, Chris just died gunshot, suicide by gunshot. So
yeah. Maybe that with what Kevin, maybe, or Carrie, maybe that with the other was too, it wouldn't have made the last suicide enough, I guess.
It wouldn't have made it have the emotional impact.
Exactly.
So that's funny. It's not funny, but they actually reversed it. So Carrie's death, the dad found him on the the family front yard, right? So in reality, Chris's death, Kevin and his mom actually found him. So they kind of reversed a little bit. They found him outside the family farm and suffering a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Kevin and the mom did. So they kind of just took little pieces from it.
Almost like two birds, one stone.
Exactly.
Because Chris died from a gunshot wound to the head. Carrie died from a gunshot wound to the chest.
Yeah.
Insane. Almost the exact same spot.
By the exact gun he bought for his dad for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and that makes it even more tragic that it was a Christmas gift that put it into him.
Yep.
Well, and by that point, I think Carrie was just, you know, so far down the rabbit hole that, you know, I don't think, you know, there's been talks about, I've seen a little bit of, like, interviews. They said he really thought that his death was imminent. Like, he couldn't stop it.
Well, with the drugs that he was doing and being let go by WWE at the time.
Yeah.
And having his foot amputated, you know, that's another thing in the movie that gets glosses over is that he goes and drives his motorcycle and he breaks his ankle in real life. You know, really, in reality, what made him have his leg amputated was that he got up out of bed after having surgery on his ankle and tried to go walk towards the cheeseburger and ended up shattering his ankle again, beyond repair. So that's why his leg was amputated.
In the theater, that cheeseburger. In the theater, that was the loudest audible gasp in the movie, where like he walks into the kitchen and you find out that his foot had been amputated.
But they also play gets into that wreck on the night he wins the championship. He don't get into the wreck on the night he wins the championship.
So like I was, you know, and Johnny and Ed, when we did Public Enemies, you know, I had studied a lot about John Dillinger and the Prohibition era and all that stuff. Jay, does it, as a fan of wrestling and everything, you know the complete story of what happened, is it irritating that they just gloss over everything, or do you think that, yeah, you could have done like another extra 30 minutes and just, you know, showed a little bit extra?
It could have been 30 minutes longer just to fill more out, you know. It really did. It was really like a truncated abbreviation movie, you know. It was like, it was just the point, high points, you know. It was just like here, this one dies, and all that. Yeah. So
I kind of thought the same thing, and I was like, you know, this movie could have been 3 hours, and I think I would have been okay with it, or this could have been 2:45. But then on the rewatch last night and the night before, I was like, I think that's perfect. I think it's just fine giving me a little bit of a gloss story for David, Mike, and Carrie, because at the end of the day, I was like, in my mind now that I've watched it 3-4 times, I'm like, this is a Kevin movie. If I go back and when I go back and rewatch it, you know, that's all I'm thinking about right now. I'm like, this is a Kevin movie, including some triumphs and tragedy of his brother. See what I did there, Jay? And I think that it's perfect the way it is, just because that's all you need to really know, is that's a Kevin story. And you could even, you know, even make a good point that it's more about Kevin and his dad with the love of his brothers.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
So I think with them hashing and just making, you know, they're almost like making a big chopped salad with David and, or with Kevin and Fritz. And then you got the sides being the two brothers or the three brothers. So I think at the end of the day, that was all it needed to be. Somebody said earlier, with more deaths and maybe with more brother stories, it was a little bit too tragic. And I think that would have been true. I think it would have been a 3-hour depressing as hell movie. This is already a depressing film as it is. But
you notice we're sitting there, we're a little bit more animated about this movie than we were about the depressing Patch Adams movie.
Yeah, because I think there's definitely more. Let's be honest. This is an A24 movie, so it's a little polished better than Patch Adams.
Well, and A24 just cracks me up. It's like, hey, you know, we'll be a good Christmas movie. The Iron Claw. We'll be a good Christmas movie. The Whale. I'm just like, man, like. Your release dates it's all, it cracks me up when they always put A24 movie on Christmas Day. So
they'll spend a Christmas with us while we watch a movie about a bunch of people suiciding themselves.
Yes.
Do you think does anybody think with a movie like this happening, and I mean, let's be honest, A24 wise, it was very successful. It made its budget back and then some, you know. Yeah. It only took $16 million to make and it made $45 million. Does anybody else think that with this coming out being successful, that we might get some other tragedy stories, not just being wrestling, but you think A24 might keep digging into that kind of dark side of other things?
It's very possible.
The A24 wrestling universe, yeah.
Oh, I'd be totally down for an A24 wrestling universe. Yeah. But the stories like autobiographies, I always feel that movies aren't the way that they should go.
They're hit and miss.
Exactly. I think that we should have a TV series. We could have had a 6-episode, hour-long TV show, and it would have been a lot better. It would have been able to have more information, and if, you know, like, it just would have been a better flow.
Yeah, I mean, like you guys said, I mean, I think you could do like a 6-hour, 8-hour HBO Max television show about the Guerrero family, because I think, you know, that's just, there's so much with that and what they did and how they influenced wrestling and all kinds of stuff. So,
yeah.
Do you think that they made this movie, obviously, it's about quote unquote the Von Erich curse, but do you think they kind of played up the idea that the dad killed the brothers because he was just pushing them so much?
I believe that there was a small sample of that.
I would say Moore didn't really care, because especially with the last one, it was more just like, well, you need to talk him out of it. Come here, do it. It's, you know, kind of thing. The dad.
Yeah.
The mom was
that to me, the dad, even like, when Kevin gets injured, like he gets thrown on the concrete so hard, I think that when you go back and watch that, I just kind of noticed how the dad was just like, oh, so you're not tough enough? All right, David, you're up. So you're just going to take Kevin's place.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was one of those, and I mean, a lot of us have, you know, felt that. A lot of us have been told, suck it up or quit whining or, you know, you want to cry, I'll give you something to cry about or something to the tune of that, in a way. Rub some dirt on it. But, you know, you're expected to do quite a bit in certain ways. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, little things happen and something big goes wrong out of something that is little, honestly. But,
yeah.
Like I said, his mom and his dad were kind of, you know, the distant parents. They were... The dad was always, you know, making a list of what child was his favorite at the time. And the mom was just kind of, to me, was just kind of tuned out. You know, you deal with your own bullshit. I'm dealing with mine.
Yeah, but I think that comes to bite her. That comes to bite her because, you know, after, I think, Mikey's death, they show just the black dress on the bed. And they just show the mom looking at it like, oh, I got to wear this again.
They're going to know I wore this before.
Yeah,
but how many like throwbacks is that to? Oh, you know, that's just the dads of that era. That's just the family members of that era. Like, you know, the dad didn't make it, so I'm gonna push my sons and do whatever I can to live through them, make sure they succeed, or they're gonna die trying. You know,
and that still happens. That still happens today. I mean, I know several families that, you know, they try to push their kids to through sports because they want to get to the NFL or the NBA, and they get injured and that's it. There's no more.
Or the mom just kind of sitting back, letting the dad do whatever, because whether that be, you know, he's the breadwinner, he's the bread maker, or, you know, she, that almost makes you call back to that scene where he came in from working on the farm and she's just sitting down painting and he's like, well, where's dinner? And she's like, I didn't feel like making any, I'm not hungry. And then that's just, that's the ending of those two characters in the film.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
Another heartbreaking thing is, you know, right before Carrie killed, you know, they show a scene of the suicide note, so I'm just going to go join my brothers now. That, it's like, damn. Okay. That,
What did you guys think? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think you could, that scene where he goes and joins his brothers in quote unquote the afterlife, I think that could have been really cheesy. That could have been cheesy or just not done right. But I thought it was directed and just acted just perfectly, honestly.
You know what saved that scene is, I can agree with you. I think it was cheesy to the extent, but when he asked where Jackie was and they turned around and Jackie was still a little baby, I think that's what automatically, that's what made that scene not cheesy. And everybody in that theater, you could hear them take a big gulp.
Because he was still like 7 or 8, if I'm not mistaken.
When he died,
Yeah. So that, I was just, that's exactly what I was about to mention, was I feel like that could have been just a little cheese as well. But it was that scene where they move and he's still there as the little, little buddy. And that kind of, yeah, that was the gulp in that theater. So. Jay, what did you think of that scene?
I liked it. I thought it was, don't get me wrong, it could have been cheesy as could be, but I thought they pulled it very well. You guys have good assessments of it.
Was there any negatives that you guys could have felt about this movie? I know we've been kind of praising it for about the last 30 minutes, but, you know, was there just some pure negativity that you guys were like, man, this is going to lower the grade for me. This is probably just a one-time watch.
The only negative I can actually make out would be the guy who played Ric Flair. Because, don't get me wrong, Ric Flair is iconic for his woos. You know what I mean? He's iconic for that. Everybody knows it. Even if you don't watch wrestling, if you've heard of Ric Flair, you've heard of that woo, you know, thing. So
do we have some actual, like, maybe feelings though that maybe Kevin is not a big fan of Ric Flair and there's a reason that maybe they just made that character seem cheesy, overdone, and just terrible?
No. Maybe.
I don't see it. I just think they got a bad actor to play him. I think that we could all agree that the Ric Flair part was probably the worst part of the movie.
And it 100%. Was such, but you know, even though I hated the Ric Flair scene and it was a terrible actor who portrayed Ric Flair, can we just appreciate the score?
Oh yeah.
When Ric Flair is doing that promo and the score's going on, and then you get the actual Ric Flair in the ring, the score leading up to that scene is just, it was phenomenal. I could go back and listen to that. I listened to it just a little bit ago, honestly.
Really, I thought the whole score for the film was excellent, well done. It really felt A24-ish. You know, we always like to throw that term around. I think that's probably the most A24-ish part of the movie is the score, honestly. And the thing that really sold me about the scene, the movie, what made me want to see it, was in the trailer where it was like the A24 logo, and it was like Zac Efron as Kevin, kind of like warming up. He's like jumping up against the ropes. It's just slightly out of frame. I thought that was
Even though they filmed it in Louisiana, like even I love the cinematography too, of it actually felt like they were on a Texas ranch, even though they weren't. Like, I was appreciative of that.
Well, and the attention to detail. I mean, for him to be like, all right, it's the Von Erichs against the
Free Fabulous Freebirds.
The Fabulous Freebirds, and they kind of make it look like an ESPN special or anything like something like that. I was like, yeah, the attention to detail, like the 70s or 80s television logos and everything was spot on.
Hey, well, Jay, made you feel like you were watching an episode of WCCW, though.
The actor who was playing the ring announcer, not the ring announcer, but the commentator, who also did some of the, was he supposed to be Gordon Solie?
I don't know.
The guy they got to play him, Scott Innes, he really does look like him, but his name on IMDb is just ring announcer. And I'm like, man, I wonder if that's who that was supposed to be, but maybe they just didn't get the rights to have the name of the movie or what.
It's possible.
But I don't know if the 80s was past Gordon Solie's time or.
I think that was about the time he was hanging it up.
So this movie, I'll tell you what, I'm probably going to go do it later today or tomorrow. This movie made me want to go watch The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke in it.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah. So, but let's get into, does anybody else have anything that they want to mention about the movie or any of the deaths? We talked about, you know, all three deaths were pretty tragic and it's a pretty depressing movie. So, let's talk about a favorite scene or two. Jay, do you have a favorite scene you want to talk about?
I like the scene where Lily James comes up and meets Kevin, and he's all backwards and he can't sit there and speak to a woman. She's like, did your parents teach you how to speak? And he's like, what? And she's like, you're supposed to say hi and everything like that, you know. Why don't you ask me out? You know, I thought that scene was pretty clever. I thought it was done well. You know, Zac Efron played the, you know, surprising, a bashful guy pretty well. And then just to see the scenes where they went and took Mikey to the college so he could play his gig, and they're all sitting there doing drugs and getting drunk. I thought that was pretty funny.
Zach, what about you? You have a favorite scene?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Lily James's Pam. I thought she was very, very good in this movie. The date scene where they're just talking about what they want out of life is, I thought, was really sweet and well done. Like I said, it could have been done for cheese and just not played very well. But when they did the Harry going to see his brothers, I thought was, you know, very shot well, beautiful, just really well done, even though that could have just been really, really bad. And honestly, it's a little scene, but when I think it's Mikey, Kevin, and David, they just go get a cheeseburger. They're just driving the car. It's just like, that just shows how much love Kevin had for his brothers. It was just a simple scene. And when they go pick him up for his like music lessons, it's just like, yeah. I think that's like the heartbreak of like, oh, this is like the good before like it gets really, really bad, essentially. So
yeah. I would have to probably pick, I'll say the wedding thing, because I agree, you know, where they're just the closeness and the brotherhood of dancing together, drinking together, having fun together.
We're all together.
Yeah. And then I would probably say the breakfast scene where they're all, you know, that's where you get the first ugliness of the father Fritz really ranking his sons. And I'm like, really? You're ranking who's your favorite and who's your least favorite? And then he has the nerve to tell them that can change.
Well, and the funny thing is, I think that's really played as a joke, but you know, after you watch the movie, you're just like, oh, that's for real. That was real. Yeah.
So that's a bittersweet scene because I enjoyed the hanging out of the brothers eating Mikey's breakfast and, you know, going back and forth with that. And then you get the, like I said, the ugliness of the dad. Any of the time that you saw wrestling on scene was a good scene. And then I would have to say the Harley Race interactions with Kevin and Harley Race. I think, like I said, they portrayed a very good Harley Race. And that was a very good scene as well. And then the teary-eyed scene at the end, man, where Zac Efron is, you know, telling his sons that he's no longer a brother and he doesn't want to cry because that's what a man does. And, you know, his kids are already proving his dad wrong. Like, we cry all the time, Dad. It's fine. Cry. We'll cry with you. That hits you. So, Ed, what about you? You have a favorite scene?
Everything after the scene where the brothers are, well, four of the brothers are joined up in heaven. Everything after that, literally till the start of the credits. Like I said earlier in the podcast, the scene where he told him, you know, I'm not a brother anymore and all that, man, that kicked me. It did. It got me. Well, I was just like, damn, man.
The crazy part is, because I didn't know the story after Harry kills himself and Kevin started to choke out his dad, it's like, is this how this is going to end? Like, Kevin's going to kill his dad? He's going to go to jail? Is that how this is going to end? So,
but, you know, like, them coming together, introducing the youngest and then basically, or the oldest, I'm sorry, and then going on to him just watching his boys play. And I mean, it wasn't anything that he is upset about. He wasn't mad about them playing. He was just like, man, I used to be doing that. He's like, I can't anymore because I'm not anymore. And it was just like, damn, dude, like, you know, to go from a family of, you know, five, you know, plus mom and dad to you and your mom and dad. Yeah. And that's all it is.
Wow. Well, looking online while you guys were talking, I thought that was it for the Von Erichs, but no, there's still family members that still wrestle to this day. So
Ross and Marshall, Kevin's sons, they're a tag team in AEW, or at least they appeared on AEW.
He appeared with them on there too last year.
Granddaughter,
Lacey Von Erich. She was a wrestler as well.
She's like retired though, isn't she?
Yeah, she wrestled a few years before her brothers or cousins, whatever she is to them.
I think cousin, because I think she's Carrie's daughter. I think that they've got, you know, at least what, 8 to 10 of them out there or something like that. That are all the children of the kids.
Well, and I liked how it kind of ends on a happy note where it's just like Pam and Kevin got the big family ranch and they showed like the new generations of the Von Erichs. So I was just like, it ends on a sour note, but it ends on like a bright note of like, you know, the family's still thriving and they're, you know, successful and everything. So
before we get to our star rating, guys, give us some stars. Help donate to the show. We are looking for some new equipment to take this show again on the road. We're going to try to go again to some sports bars here in the city. We're going to try to go to Rodeo Cinema and make that a mainstay. We're going to try to go to San Marcos. We're going to try to take the show on the road any which way we can, starting hopefully this May. So anything you donate will get put back into the show. CINEMEN 405. Jay, maybe we can even take it up to your neck of the woods and do a sports show at a local bar there in Wichita. So, either way, like I said, everything is always appreciated. It'll get us new headphones, new microphones.
Give me a camera.
Maybe some cameras. Maybe some green screens for all of us. So, share it, like it. Share it for everybody, and you'll get the cinnamon on location. My goal at least is once a month. So you guys, good news for you guys, you three don't have to go anywhere. You can stay there. I can go on location, and I'll be the one going on location, and you know, I'll be coming to you live from San Marcos, and you guys will still be in your nice, you know, cozy little home. So but yeah, donate. Everything goes back into the show, and let's talk our star rating. Edward, you finished us off last. Go ahead and start star rating for you.
Man, I am going to go ahead and give this a 9. I thought it was a wonderful movie. I thought it was a great tale. Ups, downs, lefts, rights, all overs. So, yeah, to me, it's a 9, man. So one, this is an awesome film.
Jay?
I give it an 8. Like I said, you know, I know a lot more about the Von Erichs and what the movie portrays, so I felt it was just a little truncated. It was just a little shortened version of their life, but I get it. I get why it's like that. But an 8's still good.
8 is fantastic. I'm going to go one above you. I'm going to give this movie a 9. All for the same reasons, you know, acting, storytelling, Zac Efron did amazing, cinematography, score. This was one of my favorite movies from last year, and it shows. So, and the rewatchability was fantastic. I still needed a hug and a beer afterwards. Zach, what about you? What's your star rating for this film?
We're going to go 2 9s, and I'm going to go with 8 with Jay. So 2 9s, 2 8s. It was an honorable mention for me. There are no negatives for me. This movie, it's just 8 is just where I felt where it landed on. So, great performances, tragic story. Definitely one of the better one of the upper tiers of A24 in A24's catalog. So,
A24.
Speaking of, guys, tomorrow's Monday. Maxine is getting a trailer tomorrow, sometime. Monday, the latest A24 horror movie, the climax.
I'll be seeing, No, good. Oh, is this the finale of the trilogy?
The Pearl trilogy. Yeah. So this is gonna be pretty fun. I think the movie hits in July or June, and you get the trailer in tomorrow. And then Civil War hits movie theaters this week. I think I'm gonna go see that A24 movie as well. So
yep, seeing that Saturday. So
and think, I've also heard that on April 9th they're supposed to release the trailer for the Joker 2.
Yeah,
oh, nice. That's coming up. So you know, April was real close to being an A24 month, but I think we're gonna save that for August again. But yeah, a real fun week here at the podcast. Everybody, we've had a very, very busy weekend. And everybody at MSWA Productions, the YouTube channel has been popping, Wrestling Tacos in Philly. Fun week. Don't forget, next Sunday, we are putting our final stamp on the Zack Snyderverse. We're talking Aquaman 2, The Lost Kingdom, next Sunday, April 14th, 6 p.m. Don't imagine that 7. It is at 6 p.m. next Sunday. You know, we kind of touched the nail last week. Rest in peace to the Snyderverse. We'll talk about it next week. And then don't forget, Thursday.
Yep.
Me and Jay, we're going to talk Bray Wyatt, Become Immortal. Again, if anybody else watching, listening, joining us here, if you guys want to watch this, it's on Peacock, and we will review it, break it down. We'll talk about it on Thursday night. Let's say 6:30.
All right.
So, Jerry, I know you kind of just got thrown into it, but are you looking forward to watching it again and maybe just talking about it?
Yeah. I had no problem watching it again.
I think the conversations that we had during recent watches just sparked something. And that's usually what happens right here, Zach, Ed.
Yeah.
A conversation can just be going on during recent watches or an email, and let's just make it an episode. Let's talk.
Well, that's what we did for the final episode of April is our top five movie experiences. That was an idea for me where we're just like, we should talk about that one time, and boom, there we go.
That's the last Sunday in April. That's April 28th. We're talking our top five favorite movie theater experiences. Next week, Aquaman 2. The week after that, April 21st, we're talking True Lies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, and then April 28th, top five movie theater experiences. That is for the month of April. So other than that, guys, any final thoughts, comments before we get out of here?
Everybody have a safe and enjoyable weekend and enjoy the WrestleMania night too.
Night too. Yep.
Perfectly done. Well said.
All right, guys, new episode next week. Aquaman 2, we finished the story of Zack Snyderverse. Next Sunday,
we're going to rip Aquaman. That man to shreds.
Aquaman.